Hola y buenos días. Today we are here with Kieran Rooney of Belfast, Ireland. He's going to share with us his story of how he came to learn Spanish and come to live in Buenos Aires. And he will also give us a few tips on appropriately interacting with Argentinians, how the cultures of Ireland and Argentina are similar and different. And he'll also give us a few pointers as to just some exciting and adventurous things that you can do while in Argentina and the area. With that, we will begin with our interview.
Thank you for agreeing to do this interview.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Yeah, I'll try to make it as spontaneous as possible.
So why did you initially choose Argentina for your travels?
Good question. I wanted to do a trip throughout the whole of Latin America from Mexico right down to, the end of Argentina, or Ushuaia. So Argentina was actually the starting point of that trip. And I guess I picked Argentina because I thought it's the less threatening of all the Latin American countries. I thought it as a good sort of introduction to Latin America. That's what I thought in my head. I thought it'd be a good place to start off with because I guess it has a reputation as being the most European of all the Latin American countries, you know what I mean?
Right. So, and was that the case then?
Yeah, pretty much. The first impression was like, I thought it was a kickback in time to the 1970s. That was my first impression. It's just like this place is on a different wavelength altogether. And when I came here in 2000, it was like the 1970s, because even the cars were like from the 1970s. But and it's just a different tempo. It was a different, like, speed. You know, people sort of go about their business at a different tempo. You know what I mean? They're not, you know, I mean, obviously, they get their work done and everything else, but it's at a different rhythm. And, you know, when people take time out to talk to you and actually talk to you and look at you when talking to you, you know what I mean? If you stop someone for instructions in the street, they'll stop and give you instructions and directions and things like that.
Great. Had you lived in faster paced areas before then?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess living in the UK, and I'd worked in Australia as well in finance, and it was a completely different tempo there. It's just like more, you know, you're sort of orientated to getting things done and achieving objectives, and you know what I mean. And your work,
right? Not as
benchmark,
not as personable.
What's that? No, no.
I said not as personable.
Yeah, very much results-oriented. Yeah.
Which yeah.
Obviously has its positives as well, but at the same time, it's not, I don't think, maybe in the long term, maybe it's not, maybe doesn't produce the best results, you know?
So did you end up ever leaving Argentina then on your trip?
Well, I did, yeah.
I
continued on and I did the trip that I originally planned out to do, which was to travel. I actually went south via Chile, Uruguay, Bolivia, in Brazil, and then I sort of jumped. I went north to Mexico, and then from Mexico down to Guatemala, Honduras, Panama, and I saw quite a bit of Latin America.
Yeah, what an awesome trip.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was great. So
then what brought you back to Buenos Aires?
Well, when I first came to Argentina, that's when I met my wife, Gabriela. So I initially met her, but obviously, and that was great and fantastic. But I was pretty adamant. She was pretty adamant, you know, continue your trip. So I did that. And so that was important to do, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So then how did you come to find Estela for your Spanish school?
Basically just searching the internet.
Okay.
And I sort of vaguely liked the idea of speaking Spanish or having some Spanish. And I thought like actually going to a school as a starting point to go into a new country, I thought was a good idea because you instantly have somewhere to go. Because when you're a new country, you're just like, well, where do you start off with? You know what I mean?
So did that help you then?
You've got a starting part off point whereby you can meet people. You meet a lot of people who are in the same position as yourself, who are new to the country or looking to learn Spanish. So in a way, it's sort of like a bit of a safety net, I think, because you've got an instantly group of friends who you can fall back on, and when you first come here, it is a bit daunting. I wouldn't have liked to have come here without having gone to the school. You know what I mean? I don't think I would have had the same experience. Nowhere near the same experience. Definitely sort of eased me into the culture and the language and helped me to find my bearings. And then obviously continue on with my travels. So.
Yeah, it's good too to have the comfort, like the safety net, like you said, of a staff and friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the good thing about the school is there's lots of groups there, and you'll meet people, like-minded people, for sure. A lot of people come to Argentina for some reason or other, like-minded people. So if you're attracted to Argentina, then the school will have people that you're for sure to get on with.
Definitely. Going back to how you met Gabriela, so how did you meet her?
Ironically, it was on one of the I went out one night with one of the directors of the school. Went out for a night in Buenos Aires to an Irish pub, ironically, and I met her there.
That's wonderful.
Which was ironic because I couldn't speak any Spanish at that stage, but I sort of said to myself, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. So saw this nice looking girl, and I thought, well, might as well try and practice some of my Spanish, which was about 3 words at that stage. So
she must have been very patient then.
Yeah. So with a bit of Dutch courage, I decided to go and chat her up, basically. So.
Well, that's great.
Thankfully, she had better English than I had Spanish at that stage.
So what advice do you have for someone who might be a little bit more timid but wants to speak Spanish?
Let it rip. Don't worry about making mistakes. I think it's more important the fluency than the grammar.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I still get my feminines and masculines mixed up all the time.
Sometimes those are really tricky.
Yeah, I know that, but I should know by now, though.
Oh.
But I'm always getting corrected, so.
Oh, funny.
But I think fluency is it's because otherwise, when you listen to someone who's not fluent and who's taken really conscious of the grammar and all the rest of it, which is important, maybe the listener might lose some interest. So
yeah.
That's my opinion, or maybe other people. But you find European speakers, people who come from Europe, because they're probably more used to languages, different languages.
Mm-hmm.
They come down and they're pretty, their grammar's pretty good, actually. They sort of.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Back to you and your wife. What was your, did you have any hang-ups or interesting experiences in combining two different worlds and different cultures?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the language in itself is a big issue, I think, because just the meaning of things, like you'd say certain things in your own language or try and express it in Spanish, and literally it just wouldn't have the same meaning once you translate it. So
yeah,
you find initially, the early years I found myself frustrated at times with just speaking Spanish because you weren't able to express yourself properly. So, but then that's just part of the terrain, you just need to get through that phase, and once you become stronger Spanish, you can express yourself, I think, better. So, but other things, culturally different. Yeah, Argentina and Western countries, I say, are so much different. Like, they have a different mindset, different outlook on things. you know, whereas people, like, say, from the States or Europe would be accustomed to saving money. Like, for instance, you know, they get paid and they might save so much money. In Argentina, no one saves money. Everybody just, they spend, if they get paid $100, they've spent the $100 and more, you know what I mean? They don't save even a dollar of it. That's just their mindset. Or if they have 5 pesos in their pocket, you know, they'll spend their last 5 pesos on a cup of coffee, you know. They just, so that's a different outlook on things altogether. And also, I'd probably say the main difference I found was people in Argentina probably not that hung up on, you know, material items, you know what I mean? So people would say, you know, I've found living in other countries, the first thing people would say, oh, what do you do? That's just a natural question, you know. Hi, my name's such and such. My name's such and such. What do you do? Like, as in defining yourself as what your job is or what your profession is. And in Argentina, that's actually seen as rude, so it is. So you would never introduce yourself to someone and ask them, what do they do, or what does he or she do? It's just really seen as rude. And maybe once you get to know a person, you know, however long it takes, over a period of time, then it'll come up naturally in conversation, what you do. But you would never ask directly what you do. It's just seen as, it would probably be seen as bad manners. So people aren't really hung up on status in terms of whether you're a lawyer or, you know, a doctor or whatever. It's more, they're more the, I guess, the type of person you are, whether you're someone that they can relate to or whether they're someone that you've got something in common with or have a laugh with. That's the first thing that people would be thinking about when they meet you here, as opposed to
that's
whether,
great.
What's your status?
I think everybody should take a lesson from that.
Yeah, for sure.
So then in raising you have two sons, right?
Yeah.
And what are their names?
The first one's Ignacio.
Okay.
He's age 7. And the second one's Rory, which is an Irish name, and he's 5.
How do you combine your cultures and raising them? Do you have like certain traditions or something that come from you and then some from your wife, or is it mostly dominated by like Argentina since you live there?
No, I mean, I'm being Irish. Our cultures, I guess positive aspects of our culture, which I try and incorporate into the kids, you know, whether through Irish music, also sport. We play Irish sports here, which are hurling and Gaelic. So there's a hurling club here in Argentina. So I take them there, and they play the Irish sports there as well. And they also go to Irish schools in Buenos Aires. Quite a number of Irish schools. There's a few Irish schools, very good schools here. So they go to those schools. So they're very conscious. I don't try and ram the culture down their throat, but at the same time, they know that I'm a bit different from their other friends, parents, you know what I mean? Being an expat. But it's a culturally, but in other respects, from a home life point of view, there's a lot of similarities between Ireland and Argentina because, you know, family is very important here. So the influence of the family, you know, is paramount, you know, and obviously bringing up kids, so it is. And other things such as, you know, sense of humor of Argentinians and Irish is very similar as well. They're both quite, humor would be in, whether it be ironic or sarcastic, that sort of type of humor, which are pretty much the same, so they are. But,
yeah, that's great.
yeah, so culturally, there's not, with bringing up the kids, you sort of have both of the same views of how to bring them up. Probably the only difference would be, was the Argentinians would be a bit more lax in terms of discipline. Yeah, it's like the kids are sort of, you know, you'd never see someone smack their kid in Buenos Aires. It's just like, definitely not. It's a definite no-no. I mean, a lot of countries, that is the case now anyway. But in Argentina, it's just a definite no-no. You wouldn't see anybody smack their kid. In Ireland, you would. it's still very active. So that's a difference that you would say, probably between Ireland and Argentina, to bring up the kids are a bit different in that respect.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Jumping to like a different subject, more towards your work and businesses, it just amazes me that you embraced Argentina's history so much in your hotel, and then just the way that you furnished it and everything. So what draws you to that aspect of the country?
The hotel in itself, it's where I was lucky to come across this building, which is 106 years old.
Wow.
So that in itself, it's got a lot of history. And I guess when I bought it, I didn't want to just like superimpose a modern image on this, historic building. So I wasn't, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I wanted to revamp it and freshen it up. So what we did was a renovation which respected all the original structure of the building and obviously freshened it up with different colors, with fairly contemporary colors. And the furniture and the chandeliers, I went to a lot of auctions in Argentina and bought them and had them renovated.
Yeah, I was reading about the hotel and from some blog, and they were just saying how much time you spent in finding the chandeliers and then having those restored to how they were originally as well.
Yeah, the thing like the chandeliers and that, which, I was very fortunate to get, I spent over a year going to these auctions, and, sometimes you would and you wouldn't see anything, and then sometimes you wouldn't see a lot of stuff at really good prices. So, I became pretty clued up on what to buy and what not to buy, what was a good price or not. But obviously when you buy these things, you have to have them restored by the proper people. The chandeliers, ironically, I actually did the work myself because I had an old guy teach me how to do it.
Oh, that's great.
It was a bit of a labor of love, whereby a lot of hours spent cleaning these chandeliers and rewiring these chandeliers and that. But, once each one was done, it was like, something to be really proud of. So in the hotel, I think we've got about 20 odd chandeliers.
It has more meaning then, too.
Exactly, yeah. So with the end product being at the hotel is it respects its origins in terms of what it was originally looked like, but at the same time, it's fresh as well. So when people come here, it's a nice environment. And, it's not a museum. It's a nice hotel with nice furniture. And, you can see, imagine what it would have been like, over 100 years ago in Buenos Aires. So you can.
Yeah, and you're in a pretty busy part of town, right?
We are, yeah. We're actually on Callao and Sarmiento. So we're just one block from Avenida Corrientes, which is the theater district. So it's a good location because it enables people to walk as a tourist to a lot of places of interest, whether it be Recoleta or the Obelisco or Casa Rosada or Congreso. You can walk to those places. They're all pretty close by, so they are.
Yeah. And then along with your hotel, you also have a bespoke tour agency, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. It's a travel agency where we offer package tours and itineraries, and we have about 25 different packages and itineraries, and they can be adapted, designed to suit each individual. So, whether you want to add on an extra, bolt on an extra destination or chop one off and include not, we can do that. There's flexibility to do that. So what we find with the hotels is a lot of people were coming to Argentina and said, well, we've got the Buenos Aires, what will we do next? So I identified sort of like a gap in the market. And being Irish, I sort of knew what people were thinking and what they were sort of looking for. Whereas the agencies here, one thing being the language as well, they won't really cater for the, you know, the Western market. So fairly difficult for the agencies here to cater to the needs of the people outside, the you know, whether it be American travelers, European travelers. With the experience Argentina, it's good because it bridges those, you know, the need of person coming here, and they can sort of plan out a trip before they even get on the plane, and it's all obviously organized for them to the level that they want it organized. If you want to be spoon-fed, we can organize a trip where you're spoon-fed. If you want a trip that's more, you got a bit more freedom, we can organize that sort of trip as well. So at least you know you've an idea. Say if you've got a month or 2 weeks, we can design an itinerary specifically for that period of time for you.
Yeah, that's great. That's a, it's kind of like the school then too. You have your comfort and you know that you can always go back to the, go back and get help.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So what is your, do you have like a most popular tour package?
Actually, it's around, we have one actually designed for this, which combines the school and learning this, learning tango, and it's called Learn Spanish and Tango in 2 weeks. So that's quite popular actually amongst the female market, ironically. So you get people coming down and, you know, it, maybe 2 week break from work whereby, and they learn Spanish in the afternoon for 4 hours, and then in the afternoon after lunch and after siesta, they have a couple of hours of tango lessons, and then the, there's within that package, there's nightly outings to the milongas, which is where people actually dance tango. So what you've learned during the day, you can actually put into practice at night by actually going and attending these milongas. That's quite a popular package actually, and it's good as well. It's you know, it gives you something to do if you've got 2 weeks in Argentina, a 2 weeks holiday. You know, it's a pretty active holiday, and you get to meet lots of people, and you know, and nice environments, where it would be the school or milongas or the tango schools. So it's very popular, that package. But all the packages that are popular is we have a trip that goes from Rio in Brazil to Iguazu Falls, then it goes to Buenos Aires. You're a couple of days in Buenos Aires, and then you head on down to Mendoza to the wine region. That's another fairly popular package as well. So Argentina is a very diverse country, whereby you've got glaciers in the south, and you know, if you're more into the like, adventure type environments, whereby you want to hike on glaciers, you know, we can organize that for you. Or where do you want to go mountain climbing in the Andes, we can organize that for you. Or if you're looking for more relaxed environment, such as Mendoza, you want to go visit the wineries. You know, we can do that as well. So, and then you've got Iguazu Falls, which is a more iconic destination, which is fantastic. You know, if you're in Argentina, you have to go and see Iguazu Falls. So it's very diverse. It's got, you know, all four different seasons all in one country. You got, you know, you got the south, you got the north, and they all cater to a lot of different travelers' needs.
Yeah, I can see why it'd be good to have someone help coordinate, because as you were listing off things, it's like, oh, I'd want to do that. Oh, not that one. Ooh, but that one's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good to put them all together.
Exactly, yeah.
So do you dance tango?
I could lie to you and say I do, but I've tried it. I'm not there. I have two left feet, so I envy the people who can dance, because I think it's a great hobby and pastime, because you know, it's tango in itself is very sensual. You get to meet lots of people, and it keeps you fit as well. You know, you're not sitting in a pub drinking beer. You're actually on your feet and dancing. So it's a good exercise as well, I imagine. But no, I think if you have the time and the energy to invest into learning tango, I'd definitely recommend it. And that's from someone that doesn't dance tango.
So can you tell me a little bit about your Pope Francis tour? That was very interesting.
Well, it's been over a year now, actually. Well, I would say about a year and a half since the Archbishop of Buenos Aires was designated as Pope. And, you know, I've been living in Buenos Aires and having a hotel here. I thought, God, everybody was took by surprise. The world was took by surprise, but I think more so the Argentinians were took by surprise that he was nominated as Pope. And I remember I was in a taxi, listening to it on the radio when it was announced, and it was sort of just like a natural idea came to my head. I says, there's an opportunity in that, because I have a hotel here, and a lot of the places where Pope Francis did his work or where he grew up, where he was based as an archbishop, are all very close to the hotel. Do you know what I mean? They're all within, you know, some of them are actually walking distance, and some of them are just like a drive, a car drive away, an hour or so. So I just thought would be interest from, you know, those people that are interested in Pope Francis and his background and his early years, his upbringing, and also the people who'd be interested in seeing the work that he did here while he was Archbishop and Cardinal, what sort of work he did here. So, you know, within a couple of hours, I sort of sat down in front of the laptop and I sort of designed a Pope Francis tour, which takes place over the space of 10 to 11 days. And instantly, I have a sister who works in media in Ireland, so I just sent her off the outline of the tour, and she had got it to one of the radio stations. So the next morning, I'd sent her the email at night at 11 o'clock, and in the morning, someone was ringing me up. The radio station, BBC Ulster, back home, was ringing me up asking for an interview. So it was
That's
like
incredible.
instant fame. And I had like radio stations ringing me from all over the world, whether it be, you know, the UK, the States, obviously here as well. They were ringing me as well, saying that, how come you come up with this Pope Francis tour? What, you know, what? So it's sort of like, while the whole world was stunned with obviously Pope Francis being elected as Pope, and at the same time I was getting all this publicity for Pope Francis, so it was
Yeah,
fantastic.
because as soon as I typed your name into Google, that was the big one that came up was the Olivet.
Yeah, exactly.
So, did you get a lot of people who did it's almost like a pilgrimage because it's
It
such
is
a
a pilgrimage, yeah. It is a
yeah.
pilgrimage.
Anything else that you want to add?
No, I think if people, just basically, if people are thinking about the idea of coming to Argentina and Buenos Aires, they don't hesitate, because, you know, people might think, oh, it's in Latin America, it's risky and all the rest, but it's not. It's very, for me, like, Buenos Aires is, factually, it's the second safest city in Latin America. It's a safe city, and it's a very culturally enriching city. And I think it's a great, we come here as not just as a holiday destination, but as an experience. It's a great experience to come to Argentina, I think. And you know, I've never met anybody who's ever regretted coming here. You know, everybody's come here has actually gone back to where they come from and been ambassadors of Argentina in terms of promoting it and advising people to come here. And you know, we get people with the hotel that come back regularly, you know, every couple of years, and you know, because they like it so much. So it is a long way to get here, but I think once you get over that initial long haul flight, once you're here, you know, it's a great place to enjoy, you know.
Yeah, wonderful. I look forward to visiting someday.
Well, you
So,
definitely have to. Yeah, you should come down sometime.
thank you again for
Yeah.
doing this. Have a
Yeah.
good day.
Bye.